I'm the one and only person who has done the entire Marco Polo route, both land and sea. And this story was done back in early 2000s for the 700th anniversary of his trip. This was a huge story for the Geographic. It ran like three issues, unheard of at the time. And the trip over goes through some very difficult places like Iran, Iraq, and Afghanistan. And I was between those wars. I was probably the only Westerner to travel through those three countries. Certainly, it was true in Afghanistan and Iraq. Nobody was getting into, but we got access. Just a small window of opportunity where, because I worked for National Geographic, and they assumed was not political, we ended up actually doing a story in Iraq. But anyway, went through those zones and then all the way through China, of course. And then that took about a year. I came back, and my editor said, "We can't leave Marco in China, so let's take the sea route back." And they gave me another year. So I was on it for about 3 years, shooting in a dozen countries. And anyway, what I'm going to show is all these photographs from that many of things that Marco Polo described, and I was able to find examples. And then the other part of it is most of it has disappeared with the last 20 plus years of modernity, certainly in China. Many of these subjects are impossible to shoot. So anyway, it's a look at Marco Polo's world and being the world's greatest traveler and influencing all the world of discovery. All the explorers followed in his footsteps, from Marco Polo, excuse me, from Christopher Columbus to Magellan and all those guys. They all were carrying a copy of Description of the World, which is, Marco Polo's book. So anyway, that's what I'm going to be showing and telling the tale, and a little bit about photography and the Geographic and how we do things and get access and all of that. So anyway, looking forward to sharing this on the 700th anniversary of Marco Polo's passing. And so this huge hoopla is happening again, and I have exhibitions in Italy and all this interest again in Marco Polo as they celebrate this explorer's anniversary of his passing. So yeah, that's what it's all about.
You've been a Nat Geo photographer more than 30 years. I suspect you started out in film. Are you all digital now?
Oh yeah, 40 years. I'm still shooting. Digital is the way to go, and I was a late comer to digital, being a master of film. But boy, I wish I'd changed earlier, because it's so much simpler with digital. Not to mention the results are pretty spectacular, and you can have so much more resolution than I had with my Kodachrome. But not that the film you'll see, I'm showing a lot of photographs that are scans from film, and you'd be hard pressed to tell the difference.
I hate when bloggers, and really, I guess anybody with internet access, calls themselves a journalist. So now everybody has a camera in their pocket and thinks because they can take pictures, they're photographers. Would you say technology has helped or hurt your industry and your art form?
It's hurt the industry in that, who needs a photographer if everybody has a cell phone and is taking pictures up to date? I just judged the photo contest, for example, from Hong Kong, and it's amazing. You know, in the category of cell phones, what some of these photographers are able to accomplish. We like to say the best camera is the one in your hands, and that is the most likely to be your cell phone. And they've made such improvements that, yeah, I mean, everybody's a photographer. Never been easier to show your work, but it's harder to get paid since there's so much photography out there. And so it's pretty, as you know, print journalism is disappearing because nobody reads magazines, and the Geographic is pretty much the last one. I mean, Time and Newsweek, Newsweek doesn't even exist, does it? But, you know, the news magazines are a different story. You look at the pictures that are running in there, and they're mostly a pickup from wire services and other sources. So, yeah, it's the worst time probably for photography, and yet it's the best in that you not only the ease of taking pictures, but the ease of showing them has never been better.
And Mike, one other question for you. You are a volunteer firefighter in New Jersey. I have seen some I've seen some really amazing photography of terrible fires, most recently the wildfires in California. Are you ever out on a fire call and you find yourself wishing you had your camera, as you probably can't help but line up a great shot?
Well, I'm a volunteer fireman in this little town of Mendham, New Jersey, where I've been living for more than 20 years. No, more than 30 years I've been actually associated with the fire department. I'm a little on the old side to be entering burning buildings, either way, I'm entry qualified. But I always carried a camera, and obviously, I got pictures that nobody else could because I was on the inside of that yellow line that, you know, that usually is around the perimeter of any fire where if you're a reporter, you can't get in. But I'm wearing turnout gear, and so I've got quite a bit of pictures of spectacular fires. So anyway, yeah. And I'm still doing it. So every Sunday I'm there helping maintaining the trucks, which we call engineers.